The Khmer Rouge ruled over Cambodia for less than 4 years, but within that short time, they managed to kill nearly 2 million people. That is more than a quarter of all Cambodians. These people died as a result of murder, overwork, and starvation. Since 1979, Cambodia has been slowly emerging from this dark era. However, trauma and violence, particularly domestic and sexual violence, remains widespread throughout Cambodia. For this reason, Cambodia is a country that longs for peace. In Acts 10:36, it says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Jesus came announcing peace, real peace. And as Cambodians respond to the gospel, despite their poverty and hardships, they experience this peace.
Well, good morning. It is my privilege to introduce to you Fede Hernandez. Fede Hernandez has been on the mission field in Cambodia for several years, along with his wife, Diane, whose voice that you heard at the start of that video, and their three kids. And so would you do me a favor and just give a welcoming round of applause to Diane and to Fede and their family for joining us here today? We're super excited to have you, and if you've been around here for a little bit, you know that we've been supporting missionaries in Cambodia for a few years, and you might also know Scott and Andrea Swart, who also serve in Cambodia, and you worked directly with them for quite some time before you kind of went to different regions of Cambodia. Is that correct? Yeah, awesome. Well, we're super excited that you're here, but before we get too much further, I know that you had some interactions with the woman who was on that video, and so I just wanted to hear a little bit more about her story and how you were a part of it.
Okay, the lady who is talking there, her name is Leo. She's a teacher in a public school, and the lady sitting next to her is one of our leaders in Barambang, one of the churches in Barambang. She actually, the leader was sharing the gospel during the week with this lady because her husband left her, and she has two children, and she was very sad and having all this bad thoughts after the husband left her, and our leader started to share the gospel with her, and they came to church Sunday, and after sharing the gospel, the leader told me that she wants to make a decision for Christ, and I asked one of our leaders to pray for her so she can, pray for her for making a decision for Christ, and one of the reasons because I did that is even if she asked me, I want the Cambodians to be able, the ones who leading others to Christ versus foreigners coming and leading Cambodians to Christ. And, you know, she's a believer since that day for almost 3-4 years. And is a faithful, she even is going sometimes to share the gospel to a different village together with the missionaries.
Yeah, that's amazing. To this day, she's just continuing to do that work, right? Yeah, that is so fun. And so one of the things that I want you to pay attention to this morning is the way that God is at work. And so things are already happening in Cambodia that have been going on even before you got there and are still happening. This is exactly what we want to see. We see people in Cambodia who've adopted the gospel into their life and are now pouring into other Cambodians. I mean, that's already happening, and you get to be a part of that, and that's incredible. And here's what I want you to listen to this morning. We're going to hear stories about things that are happening in a different part of the world, and they're going to bless us in an incredible way. But I think you'll notice that the stories that we hear and the kinds of things that God is up to in Cambodia are not at all different from the kinds of things that we hope to see God do in our church and in our communities. I mean, we're also a people who wants to see people touched by the gospel touch other people's lives through the gospel. And that's happening, and we get to be part of that here, and we get to be part of that in Cambodia. And so we're really excited about what's coming up this morning. Thanks for being here, Fede.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I know that for you, the idea of going into the mission field, this was a thing that's been going on for a long time. So tell me a little bit about how you became a missionary.
Okay, I'm Guatemalan. I live in Guatemala, and I was the youth pastor in One Guatemala Friends Church located in San Cristobal. During that time, I went to a mission conference, and I really felt like God was talking to me and calling me as a missionary. And I was very excited after the conference. I went to meet with my pastor. His name is Rolando. And said, "Hey, Rolando, I feel like God is really calling me to be a missionary. And this organization wants to send 800 missionaries to Spain, 800 missionaries to Portugal. And I like soccer. That means either country is fine for me. What do you think?"
Serve God and play soccer, right? That's the dream.
And, you know, he said, "What do you think about Cambodia?" And when he mentioned Cambodia, I said, "Where is Cambodia?" First time in my life, really, that I hear Cambodia. And he told me, "We are planning to send the first missionaries to Cambodia." And he asked me to apply for that. And I applied for the position. I didn't qualify because I was single at that time, and I wanted to send a couple. Plus, I didn't have a full-time experience in ministry. That means I just said, "Okay, whatever time is your time." I just feel like God called me that day. And later in 2003, I moved to U.S., helping the Yorba Linda Friends Church with the Amigos Spanish ministry. And in the end of 2003, in October 4, I got married with this beautiful woman there, Diane. And this is my son there, Timothy, with her too. He didn't have a class, I think. All the youth are here. Yeah.
A lot of them are over in this section over here. That
That's great. And, yeah. You know, we decide to wait until I got my citizenship, until I can reapply for missions. And the day that I got my citizenship in Philadelphia, I call Alan Amavisca, who was all the languages right now. Okay, he was the head of the mission field at that time. And I call Alan and said, "Alan, I got my citizenship. Now God can send me anywhere he wants." And he said, "I was just praying for you right now. And I was praying for new missionaries for Cambodia. And when I got your call, I think God is doing something here." And he went to visit us in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And like a year later, God sent us to Cambodia. That means that's...
Wow. And so God just was not going to let Cambodia off of your heart, right? In Guatemala, here, just both times. That's just a country that he wanted to bring you to. Yeah. And so we actually got to be your guinea pig cross-cultural experience then, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When I came here in 2003, I didn't speak any English. Now I speak English with the Spanish accent, but that's better than no.
Hey, if you can survive our culture, you can survive any culture. So, you know, we're glad to be your guinea pig. That's fun. Oh, man. Okay, so for you, I know that your heart for missions is born out of your trust in the gospel and the Bible and what the Bible has to say and God's word to us through that. And so would you share just a little bit about what God's word has done in your heart to lead you in this direction?
Okay, before I came for furlough, I was asking the Lord, "What do you want me to share with the churches in California?" And I was working a sermon in a different passage, but I felt like God was calling me to Matthew 28, 18 to 20. For most of the people who know this passage, the first thing that comes to your mind when Matthew 28, 18 to 20 come is the Great Commission, correct?
Yeah, and we have it on the screen, so why don't we read it together really quickly. We have this: "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'"
Yeah, and when we see this passage, God is leading us. God is an active God, and we are an active people, you know, like we're always thinking about what is the new things we want to do. Like since we were children, we were thinking, "Okay, I want to be a soccer player, I want to be a doctor, I want to be this," and always these plans ahead of us. And this passage is great because it's telling us things that God wants us to do, not just me, but all of us. And he's one to say that you need to go. And you need to, and that's a verb, an active verb, go, make disciples. The word "make," that means we need to go and make disciples. And he's another verb, teaching them. That means it's just active things that we do. And we are fine with that. Everybody's fine with being active and doing things. The problem is sometimes we forget verse 18, and that's exactly what God was trying to focus on me when I was reading this passage. Verse 18 said he has all authority in heavens and earth. That means versus focusing just on doing things, we need to focus on who has the authority. Do we have the authority or he has the authority? Do we are the ones who are making plans in our lives or he's the one who's doing that? Mm-hmm. That means he was focusing me and he has all authority. He is all authority in heavens and earth. And later when we understand that, we need to just do what God is calling us to do, the rest of the verbs there.
Yeah, and that's a good word for all of us, that when we minister under Christ's leadership, that it's God's authority that goes before us. And so we get to tell people about God's love under God's authority, the one who sees all things, the one who knows all things. And so that's incredible. And so you and your family decided to follow God's authority into this new adventure. So tell me a little bit about where you landed in Cambodia.
Okay, first we live in a village called Posat, a city called Posat, north of Cambodia, and we moved from that village 2 years ago to, you have the Cambodian, the map of Cambodia there. We move now to the capital. It's the little green spot that you see there, marked with a red line. That's the capital of Cambodia. And we live there, and we are serving the Lord in a church in Kait Kondal. Kait Kondal means the middle. And in that church is located the Chotiel Friends Church, and we live and serving in that area right now.
I think we have a map of the Kondal region as well.
Kondal, okay. Kondal has 10 provinces. One of the provinces is called Kien Swai. I still don't know what Kien means, but Swai means mingo. That means it's like the mingo place kind of thing. And we live there, we're serving the Lord in Chotiel Friends Church, who is located in the mingo place.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect for us. We live in Orange County. There might not be any oranges here anymore, but we still live in a place named after a fruit. So, you know, we got that in common. We got something.
Now we need to pray for the orange and for the mango.
Perfect. At the same time, here, Orange County, think mango, think Cambodia. Okay. There's a lot of links there, but, you know, you'll get it. That's perfect. So tell me a little bit, when you said you landed in Chotiel Friends Church, what are some of the things that you started doing right off the bat?
Okay, when we arrive in Chotiel, Chotiel wants to plant a new church. That's why they call us as a missionaries to come and help them to plant a new church. And when we arrived there, it was around 10 to 15 people. And between that amount of people, is 7 of them are over 60 years old. Now the information I'm going to share is nothing about the U.S., it's just Cambodian mentality and the way they think. They think when you're 60 years old, you're almost ready to die. That's what I'm saying. If you're close to 60, don't worry about it. You live in the U.S., not in Cambodia. But anyway, they think if you're 60, you're almost more there than here. That means this guy, analyzing the church, okay, 15 members, 7 of them are over 60 years old. We have 3 youth who are single, over 30 years old, and we have like 5 kids there. And we are thinking, okay, the new generation is not too much promise there. And we start to pray, God, how we can outreach the youth, how can we outreach the kids too.
Good. So there's a lot of good stories there. So talk me through some of the basic things you do. You do preaching and Bible studies at the
yeah,
church.
Yeah, part of the routine is I preach once a month or twice a month. The other leaders do the rest of the time. We meeting every Friday with the preaching team. What we do Friday is whoever who's turn to preach Sunday afternoon, we get together Friday and they share what God is putting in their hearts. The rest of the team just give some ideas that example was good, don't say that or stuff like that. The whole idea is to make the sermon better. And I got this idea because 4 years ago, Jim Peaker, who was a member of this church, invited me to go into the preaching team here. And when I saw what you guys doing, like before you preaching here, you getting this practice time, I thought this is a perfect idea, especially for new teachers. You want to have new preachers, new teachers, you need to give them the opportunity, and the best way to do it is let them practice and share the word of God.
Yeah, that's fun for me because we have a preaching team here. I'm excited that it got, you know, has influenced Cambodia as well. Preaching teams are taking over the world. It's a really great thing. I'm excited about it. Oh, okay, so you guys are preaching new Bible studies, and you said early on you guys were called to go out into another village, and you have a story from early on when you were called to go into a village about someone you interacted with.
Okay, the picture that you see there is a worship time in Don So Village, and the Don So Village started because one of our leaders in the church told me that she has a 67-year-old mother who, and she invited me to go share the gospel with her. When I asked the pastor to go with me, and when we went to visit her, the pastor started to share the gospel following the four spiritual laws. It's like a way to share the gospel, evangelizing people. And after she shared the gospel with that, this lady came and asked, I just have one question. And what is the question? And the question is, if I make a decision for Christ, can I continue going to the Buddhist temple?
So this woman, she had been going to the Buddhist temple almost daily because that's what you were supposed to do when you were over 60 in that culture, right?
So
that
you can prepare yourself.
Because you're just a little closer to death, yeah. So you you get yourself ready. That makes sense. Okay, so she was at this Buddhist temple, and so this was, you're going there daily.
Yeah, and she said, can I continue going to the Buddhist temple? And I asked her back, do you want to go to the Buddhist temple or you want to go to heaven? Hmm. And she thought for a while, and she said, I want to go to heaven. And I told her, the Bible said the only way to go to heaven is through Jesus. It's not about being a religious people, doing religious activity, coming to church every Sunday, or anything. It's just through Jesus. And she said, I want to make a decision for Jesus today. Hmm. And I asked the pastor to pray for her, so Cambodians leading Cambodians. And she started to pray for her. And during the time that I was praying, in my mind, I was praying, but in my mind was, is this really happening? Is this really, is this lady really making a decision for Christ? Or she doesn't want me to continue bother her in the future with Jesus? And that's why she's doing this. And I was a little bit negative, you know. I wasn't thinking about too much about Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. I was thinking about more the way that we think. And after they finished praying, this lady came to me and said, can I go to the village today in the afternoon, the coconut village? And I asked, why do you want to go to this village with me? And she said, because the guy that you're teaching the Bible there is my son. And I want to tell him that I make a decision for Christ today, and I want him, encourage him to do the same thing. And that day, this old lady make a decision for Christ, and 2 hours later, she was leading her son, the wife, and 3 youth to Christ.
That's incredible. I would have been skeptical too. I'm not sure I would have believed it either. Yeah. But there it is. In one day, in one shot, you've got a whole family that's coming to faith in God. And you say that they're all still an active part of what's going on there?
She's great because in Cambodia, you know, older people are more respect. That means if a young man can come and tell older some stuff, that means she's a wonderful evangelistic person, and she's sharing with all the old people about him, and the younger people need to hear what she was saying because she's old. That means it's a great way, and she's amazing. Yeah,
that's incredible. And so she was basically freed from this life of constantly going to the temple to be able to minister and to bless other people. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing story of what God is doing. And you call this the Coconut Village because that's what the name of this village means, right?
Yeah, Donso is the white coconut.
White coconut. So between mango and coconut, we've got the makings of a smoothie here. That's sort of our theme for the morning. So
everybody, you guys have a smoothie with coconut, mango, and orange. Remember to pray for that three places.
Jamba Juice, Cambodia, it's the same thing. Yeah. Good. Okay, so you guys had an inroad to this village, but you also knew that back at Jatil that you needed to do something for the younger people there. So tell me about that.
Okay, we were praying and seeing how we can reach the kids and the youth here. And after praying for a while, we decided to have a soccer team. And we have these 5 kids, 3 boys. One was 8, 12, and 13. And they said, guys, what do you think about having a soccer team? And they said, yeah, let's do it.
They're excited, yeah.
But we need more kids. That means if we want to have a soccer team in the church, you need to go invite other kids who will be part of the soccer team and be part of the church, because it's the church team. And these kids went to the village and just went in front of me and said, hey, man, do you want to be in the soccer team?
Yes, I do, but you don't want me on your team. That wouldn't work out well for you.
If you want to be in the church team, you need to go to the church. When we sign your name, and they start to sign names, like 2 weeks later, they came with 20 kids, that 3 kids. Wow. And later we have 30, and later we have 40, and later we have 50. And around 70% of the kids are coming to the church. That means you will see some pictures, even with the uniforms. That one that you're seeing there is one of my good friends. He's a strong believer. He actually, his main spiritual gift is evangelistic. That means he's the one who taught many years ago, after Pol Pot taught our pastor how to share the gospel using the four laws in evangelism explosive. That means our pastor is the best evangelistic person in the French churches in Cambodia. And this guy was the one who taught her how to share the gospel. That means I have a great respect for him. When he saw what we was doing with the kids and outreaching them, he has a small business in Cambodia. He donated more than $300 for buying the uniforms for the kids.
That's cool.
That's what you see there.
Yeah, that just gives the whole ministry kind of a lot of credence. Like, this is a real thing. Although, those are Brazilian jerseys, not Guatemalan.
Yeah, Guatemala didn't qualify for the World Cup. That means I'm going for Brazil now.
Okay. All right. I see. Good. And then your soccer ministry expanded into that same village we talked about before, the White Coconut thing, right?
Yeah. It's great news in the White Coconut and bad news too. Like the son of this lady and the daughter decided to don't continue to follow in Christ. And we stay just with the three teenagers. Two of that teenagers, one, her name is Punlu, that means light. And the other one means Sarai Ong. Punlu is the one with the biggest smile in that picture. And her name, the translation of her name is light. Can you imagine how beautiful her name it is? And she's just like that. Like she's attending, I think, eighth grade or something like that. I don't remember. But she's inviting her friends from school to come to worship time and be part of the soccer outreach too. That means it's around 10 to 12 girls. We don't have any boys, just girls. But in Cambodia, we have a mentality. If you have girls, sooner or later, the boys are going to come too. That means if we have 12, we will have 24 in the future.
Some things are true no matter what culture you're in.
Yeah, and when you pray for the White Coconut Village, remember light, and remember the younger daughter. That's the two main leaders that we are praying all the time, so in the future they can be the leaders of that place. We don't have a church in that village. That means if God allowed us to plant a church in that place, that would be the first Christian church in the entire village.
And so you're looking to someone who's as young as possibly eighth grade to be one of your biggest leaders in that community. I mean, that's incredible. You've been ministering to people who are on all spectrums of the age range, right? Those who are at the top and those who are just coming up. And you're seeing God use all of them in incredible ways to impact their villages. And so that's really cool. Is it all right if we pray for Light just as an emerging leader, if we pray for her a little bit?
She's around 15, 16 years old, but she's a little behind the school. But
okay.
Pray for her.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to pray for a moment for Light. So God, we pray for your blessing on Light as she continues to go about the idea that your love extends to everyone. As she's inviting her friends to be part of the soccer ministry, as she's telling people about your love, that God, you would empower her, that you would continue to develop her, and that through her, God, that this village would continue to see just how much you love them. In your name we pray, amen. And that's just incredible to see this multi-generational thing happening. I know that you have had a heart for reaching all generations, but then you also had a heart in particular for some of the kids as well.
Mm-hmm. We start to pray and read this passage. I don't know if it's there. Okay. In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when I was reading this passage, God was really focusing my mind about the war stopping them. Mm-hmm. And how, if you remember this passage, it's a bunch of kids was coming to Jesus, and the disciples stopped them and said, "I'm sorry, Jesus is busy, go play somewhere else." That's my version. But when he was saying that, Jesus came and said, "Hey, don't stop them. Let them come to me, because my kingdom is to the people like them." And I was thinking about two different ways to stop youth or children to come to Jesus. And one thing is the direct way, like the disciples did, just physically stopping them. And another way is not creating opportunities for them to come to Jesus. That's the indirect way to stop children to come to Jesus or stop youth to come to Jesus, when you don't do anything to outreach them, when you don't do anything to share the gospel with them. It's some other indirect ways that you can stop them.
Absolutely, and that's something that we have to wrestle with ourselves. Are there ways where we are directly or indirectly hindering any generation from coming to faith in Christ? I know I'm really excited for us. We're actually doing our VBS ministry next week. We're going to have a lot of kids on campus next week, and so we're really excited about that. But we have to keep asking ourselves that question, though. Are there other ways that maybe we're not even aware of, where we're not creating opportunities for people to experience God's love? And so I'm excited that you guys had that same vision, and so you decided to try and do something about that.
I went to visit one of our leaders. She was going to get married, and I went to visit her before that, and I went to her workplace, and she was a teacher in this private school in a different village called the Mingo Container. That means we have the white coconut. Now we went to do a visitation in this Mingo Container.
Mingo Container. So my smoothie has a cup now.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I can drink this thing.
No, exactly. Awesome. Okay. And when I got there, she introduced me to the owner of the school. And after talking with him for a while, he said, what do you think about helping us teaching English in this school? Because for them, even if a Hispanic guy teaching English is a foreigner guy teaching English in school, give a good reputation to the school. And he wants me to do that. And I said, okay, I will do that if you allow me to teach 10 to 15 minutes Bible to the kids. And he said, I like the first idea, but I don't like the second one. And the reason is because, you know, he has a private school, it's a business. And he said, if you start to teach about religion, that's how he sees Jesus, will be a problem for me. The parents will be angry. Don't send the kids to school. I lost customers. I lost money. That means there's no way we can do something like that. And I asked him and said, what do you think if you talk to the parents, tell them about the idea of me coming to teach English and Bible? And if any parent don't want their kids to be in the Bible class, we just give a break to them for 10, 15 minutes. They can go play or go eat. And after the Bible class is over, they can come to just the English class. And he said, I like the idea. Call me in 2 weeks and I will let you know. And during that 2 weeks, we was praying, God, open a door here or close a door. Whatever you want is your will. And 2 weeks later, I called the owner of the school and I say hello and everything. And I asked, do you have any answer? And he said, I talked to the parents of the kids and everybody's agreeing.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Not a single parent dissented.
That's what he said.
Everyone. At a private school, the parents all agreed.
Yeah.
You don't live in Orange County, do you? That's amazing. So now you have this big window to reach a bunch of students. So tell me about what that looks like.
Okay. We have 120 kids in this school, and we have 6 classes. I only teach one because I can't be able to be in the 6 at the same time. But I have a Canadian guy who was helping me teaching English, and I was taking care of the Bible classes. And during this time, my class has 30 to 40 kids. And one day I was thinking I would like to visit these kids and their families. And I said, can you please write your name, the village that you're coming from, and your phone number or your parents' phone number. And I thought everybody was coming from the same village. But after I got the list back, I started to put names here, okay, village here, name here, village here. And we have 12 different villages.
All represented in just your class.
In just the 30 to 40 kids.
Wow.
That means, for me, was, wow, this is like, you know, like 12 different possibilities or doors open for us. But the question is, how are we going to get there?
Right.
And how are we going to introduce ourselves there, or how God is going to open our doors in that villages? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, we like to do things. We like to have our plans. And, you know, after a while, I came with a great idea, one of the best ideas I ever have, and didn't work.
It didn't work.
Didn't work.
Okay.
And later, the second best idea, and didn't work.
All right.
And the third, and didn't work. And that was frustrating with my ideas, because it was good ideas, but
I like your
work.
Persistence, you know.
And I totally forgot that it's not about us, it's not about our ideas. I totally forgot that he is the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. I'm not. You guys not, neither. Yeah. And he is the one. And, you know, talking to my wife in the evening, she said, why you don't just follow the bus and pray?
Just follow the bus.
Bus and pray. And
that's your evangelism strategy, the bus.
Three buses there, and we decided to follow one. I asked Darcy, Can you drive and I will make a map? Because in Cambodia, we don't have addresses. That means we just need, okay, we follow the bus, we start to pray behind the bus, and the first stop, a kid went out, and I wrote, okay, the kid who lives next to the school with the red door next to the mango tree, okay?
I love for Google Maps to, like, give instructions that way. You know, go past the Jimmy John's, turn right at the sports complex, yeah.
And the bus was stopping every time. Every time the bus stopped, I write the directions how to get there. The one kid went out, two kids went out, another stop, one kid went out, two going out. And I have like six different maps because I didn't have a time to pass and clean. That means I still have the original maps there. And finally, after like 30 to 40 minutes following this bus, the bus stopped in the last house and five kids went out.
Okay.
And I thought, okay, every house has one kid or two kids except this one. This one has five kids. And I talked to Darcy, my friend, and I said, Darcy, I think God is leading us to this place. Maybe we need to come and visit these guys next week. And he was agreeing. And the soon we say that, I feel like God told me, why you don't go right now? Why are you waiting until next week?
So this is going to happen immediately. This is like a right now thing.
Right away. Are you saying that? And I feel that. And I said, I think God is telling us to go right now. Okay, let's go right now. And
so what's the name of this village that you were in?
The Tamarindo village. Tamarindo, it's a fruit too, but 99% of you probably don't know that fruit. Actually, say 98 because probably just two people know that, and my wife.
Someone gave me the English translation for that fruit. I still didn't know what it was. So now I've got the mystery fruit in my smoothie. We'll just have to hope for the best, I guess.
Even with the translation, tamarind. Do you know that fruit?
Some of you? Oh, hey, there were a few.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I still don't. Yeah. All right, so you're in this village, but we're not going to use the fruit name. We're going to use a different name for this village.
Okay. And the new name we're using is because when I came to introduce myself, I talked to the owner of to the guy who came to welcome us. He's an old guy, 70-something years old. And he came, and I say, hello, hey, how are you? My name is Fede. I'm an English teacher in the school that your kids attending. We was following the bus, and we saw that every house has one or two kids, but your house has five children. Is that your kids? And he said, no, that's my grandkids. Hmm. And I said, oh, that's great to know. And we are looking for a place to teach about Jesus here. Do you know any place that can be available? And he hold my hand and say, follow me. And he went behind, took me behind his house. And when I get behind his house, it's a big stable, like the size of all that chairs and that sign, that long. And cow poop, smelly. And it was a big stable, but has a manger in the middle, full of grass.
A manger full of grass.
Full of grass.
That sounds familiar to me.
And when I saw the stable with the manger, and he said, this is the only place I have for you so you can teach about Jesus. Most of you are thinking what I was thinking at that moment, you know, like I wasn't looking for that place. God just led me to that place and he said, if the one who has all authority in heaven and earth came and born in a place like that, he didn't choose the best hospital in Orange County or in the mango container. He chose use a place like that to come and born in that place. And he said, this is the best place to start to teach the Bible in that place. And we are teaching for the last 3 months in the stable place.
That's
it's
incredible.
Better to say stable than tamarindo.
It's easier for me anyway, so I'll take it.
And that's the Canadian friend who was helping me teaching English there, and that's the old man who is the owner of the stable place. And yeah, we are teaching this place for the last 3 months. One thing that happens all the time, you guys probably have the same in your life many times, is I was a little discouraged one day, you know, after coming to the stable every Friday, every morning, teaching them and everything. And I was wondering, is really God doing something in this stable place, or is I'm just wasting my time and wasting? It's like a farmer who wants to plant an orange tree, and come and plant the seed. First, make a hole. Later, throw the seed there. Later, cover the hole with dirt, and later, next day, you're very excited, throwing some water to the orange tree, who is not tree yet, but coming next week, 2 weeks, and you don't see absolutely nothing. And you start thinking, do I'm wasting water in this place here, or what? And if you're sometimes, I was that negative that day that I really once used to take the dirt out and see if the seed is there before I continue throwing more water. But that's the way I was feeling that day. And one of the girls in the stable place came. Her name is Sunrise. Such a beautiful name, you know, like, and came. She's 13 years old. And that day she came and said, Fede, teacher, it's going to be a worship time today at the church. And when she said worship time in, it's a Christian word in Cambodia. That means no Christian people don't use that. But she used that, worship time. Worship time at the church. She was calling that the stable her church. And that, for me, that was the answer that I need. That was the answer that said, it's a seed there. It's not a tree yet, but it's a seed there. And that's the encouragement that sometimes you need in your life. You need sunrises in your life. Sometimes to come to you and telling you, God is there. God is working. God is doing something. Keep drawing water. Keep investing your time there. And that's how I feel that day.
My goodness. These are some incredible stories, Fede. Like, God has been going before you, and he's taking you to some really amazing places. He's taking you to Buddhist temples. He's taking you to soccer fields, to private schools, to a stable that, under his authority, has become a church. And it's incredible to see what God is doing out on this field and how he's using you and your family to make an incredible difference in the lives of so many Cambodians. So thank you so much for your family coming and taking time to be with us and to share these stories. I think you have one last piece of a scripture that you want to share with us coming from the Great Commission.
Yeah, just remember, whatever you do, whatever active work that God is telling you to do, go work, go school, doing stuff around your neighborhood, don't forget that he is the one who has all authority. It's not about us. It's not about what we are doing. It's not about our plans. It's about him. And second, the last part of the Great Commission is don't forget that he's with you all the time.
Amen.
He promised to be with you. That means you're not by yourself. Sometimes looks like you're by yourself, but it's not like that. He's with you. He promised to go with you every day of your life. And that's an encouragement that I want to give you, because he's was given to me then, too.
And that idea that God is with us, that's something that we all need. Thank you, Fede. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to invite Fede's wife, Diane, to come as well, and any other family members that so desire, and a couple other people who've agreed to pray for them. They're going to come to the stage right now, and so we're going to pray over them for their ministry in Cambodia. So coming to the stage at the moment is Greg Prickett. He's our missions pastor, Heidi Mattson, Jason Moronis, who are pastors on staff here. Ray and Virginia Canfield were missionaries in Cambodia for a long time, even helped establish the field, and Felicia Boehringer is going to actually pray for them. Felicia got to spend, it was a whole year with you guys, right? Earlier, getting to see your ministry and what you're up to. So these are people who care deeply about Fede and Diane. We care deeply about Fede and Diane and their family, and we're so grateful that they made the time and space for us. And so would you all please just pray with us, pray with Felicia as we pray for their ministry and their family in Cambodia.
Father, thank you so much for Diane and Fede and for the ministry that they have, Lord. I thank you for Tim and Abby and Nate, and I just want to pray for your protection over their family. And God, I love Fede's reminder that you are always with us, and I pray that that would be a continued encouragement to them as they're on the field. Lord, I pray for strength and perseverance in the times when they are waiting for those seeds that have been planted. God, would you continue giving them a glimpse of the work that you're doing through young leaders like Pondu and Sunrise, and Lord, just through these moments where they get to see where your church is going to be in this village and in a stable, and just the ways that you work and your creativity are so neat. And I'm so grateful, Lord, that we get to support them as a church. I pray that we would continue to lift them up before you, God. And as they enter into schools and share the gospel, Lord, as they plug into Chitil friends, I just want to continue lifting them up to you. I pray that you'd strengthen the Cambodian church. God, would you help them to encourage the young leaders that will continue sharing the gospel throughout the years, Lord. And so we thank you for them, and we dedicate them to you now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Here's what you should know. You should know that for us, we value missions at this church quite a bit. We have a lot of missionaries that we support, and we've kind of updated our webpage recently, as Jason said earlier, to give more information about what our missionaries are up to. We even have a page specifically right now dedicated to Cambodia and to some of the other missionaries and some of the things that are going on there. And so I'd encourage you, if you're interested, to visit these pages to learn more about our missionaries, because they could use your support. They need prayer. And as you go to these places and learn about what they're doing, you'll know what to pray for. And they also need other kinds of support. They need financial support as well. And so if God is moving you in the direction to help them in that way, all that information is on our website as well. Because God is doing some incredible things in this world, is he not? And our missionaries are right in the front of that. And so it's been so fun to have both of you with us. Thank you so much. Would you all just stand with me? Oh, yeah, good. As you stand, give them a round of applause. And let this be our benediction as we go out today. May the God who has perfect authority dwell over your life, and may you go out and make disciples. Amen.